have got a thing that's unique and new. To prove it, I'll have the last laugh on you. Cause instead of one head, I got two. And you know two heads are better than one.
Well, I certainly know that. And I think Robin Grace, who's joined me in the studio, believes that two heads are better than one.
So I would agree.
Let's put our heads together and talk about an issue, shall we?
We shall.
Okay.
So today we are going to talk about how to help a child with their difficult feelings about another adult, whether it is a parent or a teacher or any significant adult in their life. And so let's imagine that your child comes home and expresses to you in some way, or you see, you observe them interacting with the other adult.
Mm-hmm.
And what they're expressing is a struggle with that other adult. And let's say your child is really worked up, howling, crying, foaming at the mouth, really feeling, complaining about feeling unjustly treated and dominated, and is obviously feeling aggressive, not violent, but very powerful. Mm-hmm. Feelings are coming up.
And we're talking about a kid maybe 7 years old, 8 years old.
Oh, all the way to 18. All the way up the ladder.
See, I was going to make a joke. It's like, Josh, you're now a junior in high school. It's time for you to stop this. But I guess, you know, it does go all the way up.
Yeah. And
different ways of for a kid to express it as they grow older, but the same basic feeling of I'm being unjustly treated by somebody who's in a power relationship, who has institutional or social power over me.
Yes, or my other parent, you know, you might see, the child mm-hmm. might not come to you and say, you know, Dad, Mom is blah, blah, blah. But you may see mm-hmm. in the interaction, so you're now observing your family. Mm-hmm. And so that has an impact on all of us.
It's a very tricky situation when you're in a triangular family, especially, you know, one kid, two parents. And it's always that way. I mean, whether there's multiple siblings in the family, you end up with these triangles of the two parents and the kid. And it's, you know, and I think all of us as parents have experienced having our kids come to us and saying, I'm having a problem with, you know, in my case, it was, you know, I'm having this problem with Mom. The kid lays it out. It's like, okay, now you have to be very... It's a delicate situation.
Right. So we're going to talk about how to handle those delicate situations, whether your child actually articulates to you mm-hmm. what's happening or whether you observe the other parent in a power struggle mm-hmm. with your child or your child in a power struggle with the other parent. And so, you know, there are effective ways to deal with this and not so effective ways.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess I want to say, just to begin with, I think just naturally – as adults, we can get prompted to control it or not control it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and there's a range of feelings we're going to experience as we watch this or hear about it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think one way to help us get grounded is to try to consider what is the best thing for the child, what mm-hmm. is going to help this child.
And it's possible. I mean, the first decision you make is, should I intervene or not?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then as you said, it's complicated when there's a triangle because your significant other is going to be and is being impacted at the mm-hmm. same time, and then your relationship is impacted. So it can be a messy situation. And the same if a child comes home from school and they're complaining about a teacher,
mm-hmm.
how do you handle this so that the child has your support, but that you can also validate what the child's going through without escalating a potential power struggle in school or de-escalating mm-hmm. one that has started. So we're bringing up lots of issues here, and it may take more than one shrink wrap to get into them.
I would say so.
So I guess, as I said, we need to think about what are effective strategies and maybe start out with what would be a main goal
mm-hmm.
or a few main goals. I would say... one really important thing is to, if the child is really upset, is to extend some type of comforting so that the child can calm down.
Right.
Yeah.
Take the heat out of the situation, get the kid to breathe a little bit, and then you can start to analyze. But until the kid's calm down a bit, nothing's constructive is going to happen probably.
Yes, I agree. And I think one thing that is really helpful is to find some way to acknowledge what that child is experiencing, mm-hmm. no matter what they mm-hmm. are rattling off.
They're experiencing something, and it's important to them. So you have to just give that credence off the bat.
Right. And you really sometimes have to do this quite artfully, because it can begin to trigger your fantasies of, oh no, if it goes mm-hmm. in this direction or that direction. So
it's so complicated.
It's very complicated. I think that reflecting mm-hmm. to your child as they, let's say, go through a whole, spouting of emotions and what they see as mm-hmm. facts mm-hmm. about an injustice, let's mm-hmm. say, I think an important thing might be to reflect back.
So let's give me an example of that. The kid says, oh, my teacher is so mean to me. Today I had this thing going on on the playground, and she came over and accused me of hitting this other kid, and it didn't happen like that. How do you reflect that?
Okay. And also, I'd add to that, you being a kid, would probably be more emotional about that, mm-hmm. right?
Oh, like, yeah. Yeah, I'm just giving you yes. a structure.
Right.
So how do you reflect that?
So what I would reflect mm-hmm. would be the emotion. Mm-hmm. So I'd be listening, and I would say something like, something not too clinical, I don't mean, but something like, well, it's really upsetting mm-hmm. when you're the one who's seen, but yet something had happened before that. Mm-hmm. Wow, that's really frustrated. You are really frustrated. So really trying to articulate what you feel the mm-hmm. child is experiencing, or even maybe asking, oh, so are you really frustrated right now? Was that really hard for you? Mm-hmm. So that they begin to feel like, oh, thank goodness, somebody is finally with me.
Someone's acknowledged what I'm going through
yeah.
and have been through, right.
So I think that tempers things, mm-hmm. and then you can get toward the next place, which you mentioned before, which is to start to identify what has happened, what is happening.
Mm-hmm.
Once you identify what triggered this upsettedness, then you're on your way to maybe brainstorm with your child, mm-hmm. encouraging them, hopefully, first to brainstorm.
Rather than intervening and saying, oh, we'll do this and this and this, mm-hmm. it's like, well, what do you think we should do about this?
Right. Mm-hmm. Or what can you do? What would you like to do? And then if they come up short, then you can mm-hmm. start lending some creative edge to that.
Right.
And maybe even eventually ask if they'd like for you to assist them.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes, especially when they're really wild, like, that teacher, oh my God, she's a devil, blah, mm-hmm. blah, blah. Once you really hear them through, then you say, well, what do you want to do? They really don't want to do anything. And maybe it didn't even happen mm-hmm. exactly as they're saying, but you're hearing their experience and they yeah. calm down.
Right. So you may just solve the problem simply by acknowledging, oh, you've been through a tough experience.
Yes.
And, oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I was through a tough experience. Now I could let go of all mm-hmm. of that anger, and somebody's holding it for me because right. that teacher wasn't holding it mm-hmm. for me, or I didn't feel like I could share it. And something really important happens in this process, which we've mentioned before, which is that a child starts to self-regulate.
Mm-hmm.
They start learning that they can put their feelings somewhere when you promote this kind of response, when you demonstrate a reflective stance.
Mm-hmm.
And then,
because you're modeling that behavior, and then they start to apply it to other people. Oh, well, maybe that person, when I said XYZ, maybe they got upset.
Yes.
And so you're modeling a behavior that you hope eventually they'll adopt in their interactions, so that you don't have to constantly mediate it. But early on, you have to just like take it apart and lay it out for them.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. So you're deconstructing mm-hmm. with them the dynamics of the conflict and the reactions that led to the breakdown. So you're helping your child identify also fantasies that they might have. Like they might have fantasies about, well, if that teacher gets fired, or, if mom would go on vacation, mm-hmm. or if she would this or that, then this is going to happen. And you as an adult know that those are not actions that are going to be taken.
And, it ain't going to happen, kid.
Right. And so you might be able to also reflect back, well, you would really like this to happen, and then you can interpret it, because then you feel she'd be off your back. Mm-hmm. But then you can get to, so what can we do? Do you think there's anything we can do together, or that I can help you do, or you can come up with, that might help with this? And I think an older child might be able to identify things like they are being provocative and they're in a power struggle. A younger child, not. Mm-hmm. And especially when, whatever child, whatever the age of the child, when they're in the throes of some emotional whirlwind, it's really hard for them to mentalize about any of this. Yep. So they really need the parent, as you said, to model so that they learn how. And also, you're helping the child mentalize, you know, what mentalize the intention of the other person or their lack of knowledge about it. Because sometimes they, a child like an adult, might assume the other person has an intention. She just wants to hurt me. She just thinks I'm smarter than her, blah, blah, blah. So they might need you to help with that as well. The other thing is, you might want to empathize with the adult who's being complained of. You might want to, you know, give some thinking about how that other adult is feeling or what they're going through. Like, oh, it sounds like she was really frustrated. This happened and then that popped. And you might even say, well, I guess maybe she wasn't doing her best to, you know, help solve this problem. Or I guess mom was, you know, really stressed out because she came home and I didn't have dinner ready, and then you were in the way, you know, but you really weren't in the way.
So then you're playing a mediating role. You're presenting to the upset child, oh, well, there are other things going on in this person's life, because any little kid believes they're the center of the universe and that all actions pivot around them. Mm-hmm. And so over time, you have to demonstrate to the kid, oh, well, you know, maybe that teacher had 9 kids going crazy at the same time. You know, the kid thinks they're the only one in the universe, but there's the adult is like trying to deal with a whole lot of stuff going on simultaneously. Mm-hmm. And so, and you know, with spouses as well, it's like, oh, well, you know, mom was having a bad day. There were other things that were, she was upset that, you know, Aunt Josephine is in the hospital for radiation treatments or something. The kid can't, you know, isn't going to acknowledge that or think about that as context for the interaction.
Yeah.
And so we have to then explain to the kid, well, there's these people have larger lives than just their relationship with you.
Yes, and that word context is really important, because that's how children learn, that there is a context. Adults are framing it and providing that education for them. And I also want to say that, you know, at times when we absorb all of this, we sort of become, as a writer, a psychoanalyst I was reading by the name of Jill Bellinson said, that we become a repository for devils, in quotes, making the outside life for the child more bearable and making it possible to support what they're going on internally. In other words, if they're just, you know, screaming out in rage, and we can really hear it, we're the repository for that. And then they experience that, you know, they can experience that we understand what's going on for them, and it makes it possible for them to begin to process it. Mm-hmm. So as we said, there's a lot we can say about this.
But they have to get it out of themselves, and they have to have somewhere to put it.
Yes.
And so we provide a container for it. Say, okay, dump it in here, and then we'll talk about it.
Yes, you're safe. I want to hold it. I really can take this seriously.
Right.
So we'll continue to talk about this.
Yeah, this is a rich vein of topic for Shrink Wrap. Thank you very much, Robin Grace, for joining us and helping us navigate these complex waters of human emotions.
Okay, well, have a nice week.
Let's finish with this.
Okay.
Because I have got a thing that's unique and new, to prove it I'll have the last laugh on you. Because instead of one head, I got two. And you know, two heads are better than